TD's new tunes. We're enjoying Kenosha singer-songwriter Lance Laybourne performing as Baker Lulon. At the end of every WGTD midday newscast, we feature a song by a local artist. So join us for Noon Tunes, Monday through Friday, 12:20 p.m. here on WGTD HD.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive, Marcia Connett, who is a Southeast Regional Consultant for Wisconsin Literacy, and she provides literacy education support and management expertise, and Xander Miller, a librarian at the Kenosha Public Library who also works on technology and digital skills. Community Matters also shares its time slot with the 30-time award-winning WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Good morning. I'm Marcia Connett, your host of today's Community Matters. And I am very happy to be back here at WGTD with a very special guest this morning. My guest today is Beth Heidorn. And Beth is the executive director of the Racine Zoo. And we are going to talk about something very special that's happening at the zoo this year. Beth, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much. It's lovely to be on your show.
Good. Glad to have you here. So what's going on? What's new at the zoo, as we used to say?
I love that phrase. Yes, 2023 brings us our 100th anniversary. So we are joining the ranks of many businesses within the city of Racine and the county of Racine that are 100 years old. We are joining some awesome ranks of zoos and aquariums around the country that are 100 years old. So it's a really special year for us. And we are very excited to share it with the community.
Good. Well, it is very exciting, and it's absolutely amazing. I mean, Racine's only about, 165 or something years old. So yep. The fact that the zoo has been around for 100 years is really, really very special. So what kinds of things are happening to celebrate this big, big, important occasion?
Yeah, so we started with a press release in February, because in 1923, Jacob Stoffel actually announced in February that he was going to start a zoo. And then in March, he was able to get some animals, some monkeys and some deer. And then that started the collection of those animals and then going to Island Park. So it opened sometime in the summer. So we're kind of following along his footsteps by, having a huge celebration on July 5th for the community. It's going to be like an ice cream social. We'll call it that way, kind of taking us back to the 1920s. And it's going to be a large community celebration all day long from 10 to 10. And
oh my goodness.
I know it's going to be a long day, but we're going to have, entertainment throughout the day. We're going to have ice cream throughout the day, just a celebration of our wonderful animals. There'll be presentations. There'll be crafts. There'll be games. There'll be bounce houses. There'll be a magician. We just want to, people to come here and enjoy and just kind of remember why this zoo is so special. And then one of the other things that we're doing, which has really been successful, is we put it out there to have people send us photos and or stories of what is happening, what they remember growing up and the memories that they made. And so we're getting pictures of people when they were skating on the pond. We're getting pictures of those that were hanging out by that big elephant shape and everything in between. And the stories that are coming through are just like phenomenal. I remember my first kiss. So we're trying to highlight all the wonderful pictures and stories on our 100-year section within the zoo's website.
And so if people have pictures or have stories to share, they go to the website, is that right?
Yeah, they go to the website, and there should be a link on there to go to our info@racinezoo.org. So it goes to that box. Okay. And every day we're getting pictures and every day we're getting stories. And then we upload the photos to our timeline so people can see what somebody else submitted. And then that usually, trips their trigger going, oh my gosh, I have a picture. I need to now go send that. And it's been great. Even Jacob Stoffel's great grandson has sent us photos too.
That's a treasure. That is,
I know, right?
Amazing.
I love it.
If someone isn't on a computer, doesn't have computer access, can they just mail something to you or drop something off at the office?
Absolutely. In fact, we have a few of those, and that's cool. Okay. We are able to scan the pictures in to our system so that we can still share the photos. They're just coming to us either in a copy, or they send them to us and say, is there a way we can get it back? It's really hard for us to send them back, but if we have to, we absolutely will. Or they can drop them off at our admin office at 200 Gould Street. Our office is about a block east of the main entrance, and they can drop those off. We can take pictures, scan them right then and there, and give them their photos back.
Oh, they can have them back right on the spot.
If they want them, yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's go back and talk a little bit about that zoo back in the 20s. Mm-hmm. And you and I have talked. My family's been really involved with the Racine Zoo, and my grandfather actually worked on the initial board with Mr. Stoffel. And I remember that zoo was nothing like the zoo that we know today. What was included in that little island park zoo?
So my understanding, as we do the history, it's so interesting. There's so much history. There is, but there's not a ton documented. So it started off fairly small with those monkeys and some deer and other small animals such as that at Island Park. So once they decided to do the zoo, then they had to build the enclosures for all the animals. So that's why it took from the time he started gathering animals in March till the time they opened in the summer, because they had to build everything where the animals were going to live.
Sure.
And that was also it was in a park. It was in one of the city parks. And people could come and go and see what was happening, and the enclosures were getting built. And so it's not like we had giraffes there. We had those here now, but it wasn't like they put giraffes at that particular park. They started to do those bigger animals that you would think at a zoo, lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, once they moved from Island Park to our current location.
Sure. Well, and in addition to my grandfather having been on that original board, then for many, many, many years, my dad, Harold Radowan, was on the zoo board for, oh gosh, I bet 30 or 40 years back term limits. And then I was lucky enough after that to serve for a couple of terms as well. So we love the zoo. And I remember my dad telling stories of when they moved the animals from the Island Park Zoo, because he was a very young man at that point. And they had a buffalo at that park.
Okay.
And they couldn't move it. And it had to be put down, which I just always felt awful about. But I guess when you think about the 1920s or whenever that happened, I wonder how they got it there to begin with.
Right. That would be a good, now that's probably a story in itself, Marcia.
I'm sure it must be. So tell us a little bit about how you came to the Racine Zoo.
Yeah, I've been in the working at zoos and aquariums since January of 1982. So I've been in for 40 years. It's kind of hard to think that. Oh. You know, I started when I was five, right?
Right, right. And, well, and how could 82 have been 40 years ago? That was just like a few years back.
I know. It ages me a little bit. But, as my mom always used to say, she said, you know, you grew up in a zoo, so you should probably work in one. That was her fun line when she had to explain to people what I did for a living.
That was a good one.
It was a good one. So I was born and raised in the state of Minnesota. So I worked at two different zoos there. I started off at the Como Zoo as an intern for the director at the time. And then I graduated from college and got hired at the Minnesota Zoo. So from a city zoo to a state zoo. And I was there just about 15 years before I picked up my household and moved to California to help open the Aquarium of the Pacific, which is just south of Los Angeles. So I was their seventh employee, had a big dirt hole in the ground, and was in charge of their education department. So it was starting from scratch, which was it was amazing and tiring all at the same time. And then I went from there to LA Zoo, then to a place called Dolphin Quest, then to San Diego Zoo Global. I was up at the Safari Park. Most people would remember it as the Wild Animal Park. Then I went a short stint in Florida, and then I moved to Wisconsin, and I love this little zoos. We're small but mighty.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're very, very happy that you're here and very fortunate to have you here. How long have you been here in Racine with us?
In April of 50 of this year, like 3 weeks from now, I'll have been here 8 years. So,
oh my goodness. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you. It seems like yesterday.
It does. I totally agree. Well, and you know, that brings to mind something that I hear people say more often than I like, that, oh yeah, we've been to the zoo. We love the zoo, but gosh, we haven't been there in 15 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. The zoo's changed a lot in 15 years. It's changed a lot in 8 years.
Yeah.
Tell us why today's zoo is so different than it was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think, you know, what I love about this zoo, first of all, it's a community zoo, and it has always been a community zoo. We are embraced by everybody that comes here, everyone that lives in the area. And I think So we created more naturalistic exhibits, which is the trend and what zoos and aquariums do. We're accredited with AZA, which is the Association for Zoos and Aquariums. So Walkabout Creek is one of those areas where you can walk through a pathway. Kangaroos and wallaroos can jump right in front of you. You can't go into their side, but they can come into the human side if they so choose.
And
it's
they?
Just it's yeah sometimes. Yeah, for sure.
That is so cool.
They'll just hop right across the path. and so it's much more naturalistic exhibits. And I think that we want to create the best habitats for the animals that we are blessed to have in our care. And in order to do that, you need to take care of all their needs, you know, food, water, shelter, and the whatever is more space and more naturalistic for them. So Walkabout Creek is a really great example of that, as well as Land of the Giants. Charles and Jennifer Johnson helped build that space up there where we have Maasai giraffes, we have Hartman's mountain zebras, we have eastern black rhinos, and fennec fox. So they're in more of a natural space as well. So that's really where the trend of zoos started years and years ago. And our zoo, to stay up with our accreditation, also followed that trend. And it's I just love it because you still get close and personal to the animals, but they have their space. And if they don't want to be close to you, they don't have to. They've got little hiding spots within their exhibits so they can take care of themselves. But it's just a great opportunity and very easily navigated, which is I also like here. So those are some of the great highlights that we've been able to accomplish in the last several years.
Absolutely. I often say to parents with small children that the Racine Zoo is the perfect place to come, because even those little legs can make the walk if they care to, but there's, you know, certainly strollers and all of those kinds of conveyances are perfectly acceptable in our zoo.
Absolutely.
And even for us older folks, our legs can actually make it from one end to the other and back, and you can zigzag and still not feel that you've walked 1,000 miles to get to see the penguins or the Land of the Giants. I was lucky enough to do a giraffe encounter a number of years ago. That had to be one of the coolest things I've ever done.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool experience because they're so big and they're so tall, and they just love to take treats from guests that we have. And you know, their tongue is prehensile, which is why when it comes out, it can wrap right around those branches or the leaves that they are being, but that's their enrichment. That's like their special snack that gets part, it's part of their diets. Every animal is on a diet. Mm-hmm. And it's very specialized. So they only get fed what they should, and they get fed the amount that they should every day. So some of those treats would be like having dessert a couple times a day, but it's based within your diet of the other grains and things that, that the animals eat here. So.
Sure. Sure. And you, your staff, how big a staff do you have at the zoo?
So we have about 32 year-round people, and that includes our part-time and our full-time. So that would include me. It includes our curator. It includes the animal care staff, our facilities staff, our bookkeeper, our op staff. So we're small. We're lean and mean. We have to be. We're a nonprofit zoo, so we've got to make sure that the animals take priority from for anything that we are doing. Everything goes to the animals first, and then it trickles down to anything else. And sure. But in the summertime, where we get to what we call high season, then we'll balloon up to almost 60 people, because we have to hire summer camp instructors. We are open longer. We have more events in the summertime. We have the farm is open. Our Norco aviary is open. So we need more keeper staff, animal care staff that's coming in. So, and then facilities, because we're open longer and more events, we've got to keep cleaning up throughout the zoo throughout the day. So, and then we have sleepovers. So we've got more needs for more staff. So we balloon up, and then, you know, after September, October, we go back down to consider our core people.
Sure. And among your staff, I mean, you have some people who are very specialized in what they do. You mentioned animal diets before. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know where to begin. I don't know where there's a cookbook for giraffes. What kinds of specialties do you have among your staff members?
Yeah, so we have a nutritionist that work, you know, as part of the AZA network. They're able to talk to other zoos and aquariums of what's the right diet to feed animals. That every animal is part of a SSP program, Species Survival Plan.
Right.
And they talk to each other. They talk to us about what are those right things to feed the animal. What is the right space that they need? What is the right enrichment that they need? So that we're giving the animals the best care possible. So that happens with every animal. So there are certain diets that would be around for giraffes, and Maasai giraffes might be a little bit different than reticulated on what their diets are. And then we have ourselves, we have an SSP coordinator here at the zoo who's now in charge of all emperor tamarins anywhere in the country. So she is one of those that they're going to call her and say, hey, we want to try a new diet. What do you think about this? We'd like to try this instead. And she would be the one that would say, yes, no. How about if we do this? What do you think about this? And it's not only nutrition, it's enrichment. It is everything, the needs of those animals. So she's in charge of all of those, and she just got that position just at the end of last year. So we're very excited to have an SSP coordinator that's part of all zoos and aquariums in the country that are accredited by AZA. So that's a good feather in our cap, and really a feather in Crystal's cap, because she's the one that does all that. And then we have enrichment people. She's part of that team as well. We're trying to keep the animal's mind stimulated in natural behavior ways. So say primates, they like to investigate in how to find their food. So they will put animal food within feeders and puzzles, and they have to figure out how to get that food out of there, which would be how they would forage in the wild. So sure. You're replicating those activities. And so those are some of the special things and staff that we have here. And of course, we have a vet that comes in a couple times a week and checks our animals. So lots of specialties here, and our animals are incredibly well cared for.
That is very exciting. Very exciting. Well, let's go back and talk a little bit more about this anniversary thing that's going on. Yes. So are there special plans for, now we talked about the summer activity on mm-hmm. July 5th. Are there other things going on this summer at the zoo?
Yes, we have multiple things. One of the things that we are doing almost every other weekend, we have what's called Zoo-fari, Zoorific Saturdays. Okay. So think about the safari days of old. It's a little similar, but it's more focused on an individual species. So say for World Giraffe Day, everything that we do that day will be about the giraffes. And we'll talk about our giraffes. We'll talk about other giraffes within the wild, as well as other zoos and aquariums. And we're highlighting different animals at the zoo, from Bat Awareness Day to Rhino Appreciation Day to World Penguin Day, you know, Snake Day, Zookeeper Week. And we will celebrate in all the animals and all the people that we have throughout the entire summer. And then as part of that, we will be talking about our 100 years every time we talk about, like, when did we start having zebras here? When did we start having rhinos here? As part of that celebration, so that we can compare what we currently have to when we got those animals as part of that 100 year celebration.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us on Community mm-hmm. Matters today, I'm Marcia Connett, and we're speaking with Beth Heidorn. Beth is Executive Director of the Racine Zoo, and we are just thrilled to have her here on WGTD HD Public Radio. So I know you do a lot of things for kids in the summer. Can mm-hmm. we talk a little bit about some of those opportunities for children from way different ages, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So we like to start kids young here. So age 2 is the first time we start programming for the littles. We call them the littles.
And that's amazing.
So it's our preschool classes, and they are adult child learning. So from 2 to 5, those kids can bring their favorite adult, a parent, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, a nanny.
Okay.
So they come with an adult, and it's an hour and a half class. There's reading so that the kids get stories, because we really love literacy here at the zoo, and they get to meet animal ambassadors. They get to do crafts, games. So it's a lot of exploration. And the reason it's only an hour and a half is because they're littles, and that's their attention span. And then coming with their favorite adult, the adults learn too, because I believe everyone should be a lifelong learner. And when you see the zoo through the eyes of a child, it is it reminds you why you love the zoo, because now you go, I remember that now. Oh, look at that face. And the kids are, their lights up, and they're like, oh my God, this was the best day ever. Yeah. So we love that. We start them young. And then we have summer camp classes for, again, a preschool age, but they've got to be, you know, potty trained and all that kind of thing.
Sure.
So that's 3 and 4 year olds, all the way up to kids entering 7th grade.
Wow.
They come for a week long. The 3 and 4 year olds would only come from 9 to noon, but the other kids are coming from 9 to 4. We have early drop off. We have late pickup to accommodate parents or grandparents' work schedules. So that works out for them. And we have 9 weeks. And last year we had the largest group we've ever had here at the zoo and camp. We had over 550 campers in the summer.
Oh my goodness.
And as of today, we are already sold out of 2 different weeks of some of our classes. People book early and book early. And I love that. So we started taking reservations for camp already in January. So it's a great test to, it's a safe place. Parents feel very comfortable bringing their kids here. I mean, we even had camp during COVID. I mean, we had certain different rules, but we did, and parents felt very
really
safe. Comfortable. Yeah. Every kid had their own backpack full of their supplies. So they weren't sharing anything.
Right.
Sharing,
and you're supplies. Outdoors. For
and we're outside. We are 32 acres. I can keep everybody 6 feet apart if we need to. So it was all good. But those are just great, great programs. And then, you know, as I said, lifelong learning and continuous learning, they could become, after 7th grade, they can become a volunteer. So they volunteer time at craft stations, helping make animal diets, working in education, being in the parades, like we've got the parades coming up throughout the summer. And then you can become an adult volunteer too. So we start very early, and we end very late on our age range of how we can have people learn and become stewards of the planet.
Nice. Now, I want to go back. You mentioned animal ambassadors. Mm-hmm. What is an animal ambassador?
So those are kind of our grab and goes. So those are animals that we take off property to schools, nursing homes, women's shelters, libraries, or when you're on property, our wildlife theater, creature features, summer camp classes, even greeting people that are coming to an adult event at night. So those are going to be things such as snakes. We've even had hissing cockroaches. We have a ten rack, which looks like a little hedgehog. We have frogs. Yeah, we have hedgehogs. We've had rabbits. We've had skunks. We've had woodchucks. We just got a new prehensile tail porcupine. Her name is Stella. So she'll start going on programs. They go with me to TV shoots and segments that we do live when we're in the studio or via Zoom. So there's lots and lots of ways for people to get up close and personal. And we use that with our animal ambassadors because those are going to be the ones people can, our keepers or our animal care staff or education staff are holding the animals or they're in their enclosures, but people can touch them, see them very, very up close and personal. And it really gets that empathy going for people loving to become stewards and take care of the animals.
Oh, that's phenomenal. And I'm guessing these are animals who are very comfortable being out and around even strange people, because obviously a lot of people they run into, they've never seen before.
Yes, absolutely. So these are animals that are trained and well cared for to be okay in the public. And if they don't want to be, we have our animal ambassadors have choice. So if they choose not to participate in an event, then they don't. And that's okay. So there's always something else that we're able to use for some of those animals. And, you know, from a skink to, you know, again, our snakes are really great. I know people don't always like the creepy crawlies, but we need them to understand and like the creepy crawlies. So that's why we use a lot of those animals. We have birds as well that go out. So Gumby is one of our birds. And it's, you know, it's just, we use them in programs and people can see them here and they live in the basement of our castle. So unless they're out on a program on property, you wouldn't just see those like you would see our kangaroos or our giraffes. Our staff gets them and takes them out. But as we build, when we build a new education center, which we hope to very soon, then those animals would be seen because we're going to make that part of that building.
I think it was a boa constrictor that I met at the Racine Zoo one time.
You probably did.
Yeah. And I'm not a fan of snakes, but I'm not freaked out by snakes. But I was amazed at how cool it felt because I got to pet it and then I got to wear it around my shoulders, which was even better. But it wasn't slimy. It wasn't, you know, any of the things that you assume a snake is going to feel like. And it felt like a living, breathing thing, which I had never thought about with a snake. So I love that that's an opportunity. I know I've been at some zoo debuts where that's where I met the hedgehog and, you know, just a chance to interact with animals I'd never get a chance to otherwise.
Right. We have the best job here because people get to do that. If I'm in a bad mood one day, I just take a walk around the zoo, see all the cool things that, and you're like, I get to do this job. I don't go to work. I get to go to work. I get to come to the zoo every day. And that passion is with every one of the staff people here. And they use that when they're those enthusiastic conversations when they're talking about our animal ambassadors to the guests. So,
oh my gosh, yes. Now, you were talking about volunteer opportunities for young people. What kind of volunteer opportunities are there for us adults?
Yeah, so we have a couple of different ways. So we've got a volunteer program. We have about 100 adult volunteers that some work 4 hours a week, some work 4 hours a month, some work 25 hours a month. It's very interesting on and we try to tailor it with everyone's needs on when they can come. So they could, some of them do data entry for our vet and things like that, because we need that. We have one that does lots of input for, like, say, summer camp. So they're the ones keeping all the rosters. They're making sure that we have all the right forms from the parents, so that if there's an emergency or anything like that, we've got all the right documentation where it needs to be. So they help organize. I have one volunteer that works for me every Friday that hands out all the donation requests that we get. We get about 100 a month. So we go through those, and she's does that for me, and she takes care of that. She'll even do all the adopt an animal program, and she'll take care of those mailings. We have one person that comes in weekly that does all the membership mailings that we do. We have volunteers that come and work in our commissary, and they're making animal diets with our night keeper so that the next day the animal care staff has all the diets ready for the animals that they need to do. We have a volunteer that comes and walks our zoo dog. We have volunteers that work events, whether they are helping with animal crackers or they are working a cluck cluck door for extravaganza. So, and then we have gardening ones. So we have, like, businesses around Racine all have community service as part of what they do and who they are, which I love. So we'll get phone calls from various businesses that say, we're doing a community action day with our staff. What do you have? And so we'll have them garden, we'll have them pull weeds, they'll do trash pickup, they're outside, they're helping the zoo. And sometimes we even have them cutting crafts for summer camp, because it takes a village to run this little village of the Racine Zoo. So those are types of things where it can be just a one-off. It's that business has that day, 3 hours, what can we have them do? We talk about it, we figure out what would be a good fit for them, and then put that out there. And many, many businesses have work groups that come out here on an annual basis just to weed and help us out to get ready and make sure we're always have a beautiful lawns and gardens.
And the Racine Zoo does have incredible gardens. You know, even the ones that you can see from the outside mm-hmm. are amazing. And years ago, I worked on a project called ZooBQ, which was a national barbecue contest that we did in the zoo.
Okay.
And to be able to see our zoo through the eyes of these barbecue contestants that came from all over the United States, and just watch their eyes as they pulled in, realized they were going to be cooking in areas that were under shade trees and on grass and in view of Lake Michigan. They were all just blown away and couldn't get over what a lovely, lovely place it was. And I guess once I realized that most of these people had been cooking in Walmart parking lots as part of their contestant experience, this was, or somebody's downtown, this was a totally different opportunity. And to watch them just appreciate the beauty that we have really made me take a look at with new eyes. Like you said, seeing it through the eyes of a child, but seeing it through the eyes of an adult who'd never been there before was amazing. So yeah, it was really fun. And I remember walking into the zoo the next morning when everybody was ready, getting all their competition stuff ready. And there was the smell was unbelievable. All of this barbecue and smoke wafting through the air. Oh, it was a very different day to be at the zoo, but oh my gosh, it was a lot of fun. So,
well, you hit the nail on the head, Marcia, with the location of this zoo. And any discipline can be used out here, from a barbecue to a concert to education to a fun walk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we are in just the right location, and we have just the right size zoo for this area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you touched on animal crackers, mm-hmm. and I have attended animal crackers for years and years and years just because I think we have amazing acts that come for that. And what's going on with animal crackers this year?
This is our 36th year.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Have I been going that long?
Yes, you have. We have just tried and true events here that are just long, long term. And this is our longest term event, Animal Crackers. So we start on July 12th, and it's every other week. So there's two concerts in July and two concerts in August. Doors open at 5:30. Concert starts at 7, and they do two sets, so it ends about 9 o'clock. We have wonderful food vendors that come out, so people can grab that. But we're also still reasonable, and people can bring their own picnic lunch in. Mm-hmm. We do all the alcohol here, so we ask people not to bring that in because I don't want to mess with our liquor license,
right?
Or have something happen with that. So just respect that. But, you know, we have that for sale. We've got great concerts this year. Our second one is Mindia Bear. When I announced her last year for our first act that we signed, there was a hush, like a joyful hush.
No kidding.
And it was amazing. So for $90, you can get, for a season ticket, you can get four concerts for $90 on Lake Michigan on a Wednesday, where everyone wants, it's hump day, everyone wants to do something anyway. And we'll have anywhere from 1,500 people to 2,500 people per concert, still to this day. It is amazing. And we've got great talent coming this year. And we end with Steely Dan, which is the last concert this year.
Yeah.
And then fireworks. We always have fireworks.
Gotta have fireworks. Yeah, that's the best night at the jazz concerts.
For sure.
Well, that's wonderful. Well, and clearly, I was on the board when the Racine Zoo became an admission zoo. And mm-hmm. we were one of the last few to finally get on board with that. And it truly has helped tremendously in terms of the bottom line. Mm-hmm. But admissions aren't the only thing that is enough to keep the zoo going. So fundraisers like Animal Crackers, and you mentioned Zoo Debut. Mm-hmm. You guys have done some absolutely amazing things. I used to come to the cigar dinners, which
we
was
still do that.
Fun. Yeah.
This is 27 year, I think.
Oh my gosh.
26 and or 27.
That's amazing. And then you did like a cocktail thing, didn't you? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It is just wonderful, the creative ways that you've come up with. And the lights that you've done.
Yes.
They have just been absolutely amazing to me. The Chinese lamp lights.
That was Lantern Festival. Yep. That was in 19.
I knew Lantern. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
And I remember driving with my daughter and my granddaughter through the zoo for the Halloween one and then the Christmas one that year. And oh my gosh, first of all, it was really fun to drive in the zoo.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, I've never driven here. But second of all, just the quality, the level of mm-hmm. sophistication of the lights was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, we work with some amazing partners to make sure that it's, again, we're nonprofit, so it still has to be reasonable for us to put the event on. And then all the money that we raise at any event, whether it's a Worldwide Wednesday or whether it's Zoo Debut, gets reinvested directly back into the zoo. So whether it goes to our bottom line, and it also goes to allow us to put some money in the bank. So as we work on capital projects, then we have seed money in order to be able to do some of those activities. So everything comes right back into the zoo. Whatever we make, we spend right here. It doesn't go anywhere. And so every fundraiser is really important to us. And you talked about the drive-thrus. We had to pivot in 20 like everybody else did. And so having a drive-thru, but again, people could socialize with their family units and still be far apart because you're in different vehicles. So that was a really good way for us to get through 20 and 21. And then this last year we opened it back up and we did it on property as a walkthrough, changed it a little bit and called it Jack-o'-lantern nights and had over 1,000 carved jack-o'-lanterns from professional folks out on the East Coast. And we had them up for 20 days. Well, we had them up for clearly longer than that. We didn't take them down, but 20 days that we were open and we had over 23,000 people come to the zoo in those 20
amazing.
Days that we were open. And it was amazing. We got great feedback. We're already going to do it again this next year and we'll be having some pumpkin shaped animals. So larger displays. And we're very excited to add those to us.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, and also people can become members. You have memberships at the zoo that do a whole lot of things, including help that bottom line of the zoo. But what kind of memberships are there and what are my perks for being a member?
Yeah. So memberships start at $40 and that would be for an individual. And then we do, yeah, so just yourself, like if you just want to make sure you can come whenever you want to, and every membership is every day that the zoo is open, you can use your membership. And so it doesn't cost, you know, so for $40, as you say, it's just you, you could come every day the zoo is open for $40, period. Either we don't charge you more every time. It's just an annual fee that folks do. We have individual plus, we have family, family plus, we have memberships that go all the way up to $1,000. So as you get up there in numbers, you get different perks. Sometimes in those upper ones, you get tickets to Zoo Debut and a behind the scenes tour that we schedule for you. Other ones are going to be getting a bag, a window cling, key rings, a certificate. So it all depends on the level of those types of things that you're going to be getting. And it works really, really great. And we are able to work with every kind of family unit, because family units are not the, you know,
right,
and 2.5 kids anymore. So we work within those, and everyone we've always been able to accommodate, and it works great. It's a really great way, makes great Christmas presents. So people can think about that next year, or a wedding gift, or they just had a baby and they, you know, it's a baby gift, and then they can walk around the zoo with their stroller every day. You know what I mean? So it's just a great way to support the zoo and stay in touch with everything that we do.
Oh, no kidding. Well, and the advantage to having a membership is that entire zoo trip doesn't cost anything because parking is free.
Exactly.
I cannot stress enough when I talk with people about our zoo that, you know, it doesn't cost you $10 to park and $150 to get your family in the door.
Exactly.
It is really economical. It's really worthwhile because you've got some parking lots, right?
Yeah, there's one across the street from, say, my office down here in our admin area. We have one that is right next to the zoo, which is where our handicap parking is.
Right.
That's like right outside the main shop. Entrance.
Yeah. Yep.
And then there's another one over on Walton in Wisconsin that is right. A large lot. And then everyone else just parks on the street.
Lots of street parking.
Lots Absolutely. Of street parking here. Yep.
Yep. So, and all free, not a meter anywhere.
Not a meter here. Nope. I love that.
Yeah, oh, me too. Me too. That's great. And if I were to come with a little person, do you have rentals, strollers, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we have stroller rentals and we have wheelchairs as well. We don't have wagons anymore. We used to, but most people bring their own wagon, but we do have strollers for folks and it's just easy to get to. And we just got some new ones last year. So they look like little animals and they're very cute. So sometimes people just rent the stroller just because the kid wants to ride around in an animal print stroller. And that's okay.
Well, heck yeah.
I would want to.
Yeah. Well, we've got just a couple of minutes left. Okay. Is there anything else that you want to talk about in terms of the anniversary or things going on at the zoo?
Yeah, I think that for the anniversary side, again, if you have pictures or memories that you want to share, info@racinezoo.org is the best way to get us that, or drop it off here at our admin office. And as far as events go, you know, when I first started at the Racine Zoo and I would do service presentations and I'd say, when was the last time you were there? Oh, a long time ago. I don't have kids anymore. I don't have grandkids. You don't have to have kids to come to the zoo. Adults also like to be outside, hang out at a great place. So all ages are welcome here any day of the week. And then check out all of our events. We've got really cool stuff coming up. And, right. You know, the car show is another one that's over 20 years old. So, you know, we've got tried and true events. We've got family events. We've got extravaganza coming up, Boo at the Zoo, all of our Zoorific Saturdays. And then just stay in touch on our website, racinezoo.org, because every new thing that we have, even new things for our 100 year, will get put on there. That's just the best way to be informed about everything that we're doing out here.
Right. Well, and you have, and again, we've only got a few seconds left, a program for parents who have children with special needs, children with issues with excitement and things of that nature.
Yeah, we're certified by Culture City. So we are certified for a sensory. So our staff goes through sensory training, you know, how they would need to talk to a child or even an adult that might have issues on the spectrum. We have bags they can check out, which include headsets, widgets, We have quiet spaces scheduled throughout the zoo, so that, because we want everyone to enjoy the zoo, even if excitement and all that stuff might not be so good for them, we still want them to be able to come here. So we've set up those, and Culture City is just a great partner of ours.
Perfect.
That we can be all inclusive for everybody.
The Racine Zoo is for everybody. That is absolutely amazing. Beth Heidorn, thank you so much for joining us today on Community Matters. It's been wonderful.
Thank you, Marcia.
And thanks to all of you who've joined us on Community Matters here on WGTD HD Public Radio. We'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.